We kick off hour number two of Three and Out, Tuesday edition of the program, Optimism Tuesday, alongside Davey Hudson and Houston Kress. I'm Nate Hodges. So get you set for the NCAA tournament. It's bracket filling out time. I used to never, ever think that, like a one seed losing in the second round. I used to not really consider that. And then I think it was that game, maybe that Davey mentioned earlier, Northern Iowa over Kansas. Seemed like that just became it. I don't know if it just changed things in my own head with perception. But it seems like the one seeds are much more vulnerable now, and I don't mean the UMBC Virginia thing last year, but in the second round and the third round, it used to be a one seed was going to at least get through round two and get to the Sweet 16. But I'm looking at these matchups right now, like I don't know, Virginia, Ole Miss, doesn't seem like a great matchup for the Cavaliers.
Doesn't.
I don't know. I don't know much about Utah State, but I know a lot of people were pretty high on those guys.
Beat Nevada, and then there was a big fight.
North Carolina against Utah State, or even maybe Washington. I mean, does the Pac-12 salvage its entire season by knocking off Carolina in round two? I mean, I doubt that happens. Gonzaga, that's who I'd be freaking out about if I was a Gonzaga fan. I'm with you. I did not want to see that Syracuse-Baylor matchup across the bracket from me.
Baylor has freakish athleticism, and Syracuse, I mean, they're just so sound in that zone. And if you're not used to seeing it, it can cause trouble. I mean, Duke struggled with it when they had Zion because they couldn't hit the three. If Gonzaga goes cold that night, man, Syracuse might eat their lunch. That said, they just gave it to Zion in the ACC tournament, and he went 13 for 13. With one shot outside of 3 feet. So if you can attack the rim, you can probably score a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what sort of defense you throw at somebody, if they have the most efficient game in ACC tournament history, it's going to be difficult to
stop them. It's just amazing. What'd you say?
I said, oh, okay.
He's right, though. I'm not here to pump up Zion and Duke, but that game was absolutely ridiculous. In a packed zone, the guy got to the rim 12 times and didn't miss. And some of those shots were stupid. Like, he would get fouled and kind of get pushed away, and he'd just, like, hook it up there and bank it in. He did go 2 of 9 from the free throw line, though.
Think about that. He made every shot inside that Syracuse zone.
But 12 of them were within 3 feet.
And couldn't make the wide open, you know,
that means
the
he
free
was,
throw.
He was 3 of 10 on shots from outside 3 feet. In case you were wondering how to stop Zion, him outside 3 feet.
In his first 9 minutes of play, he was 7 of 7 for 15 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 steals.
Not bad.
Most people would be happy to have that in a game, let alone the first quarter of a game.
Well, I mean, even for Duke, like, I'm not happy that Virginia Tech is that I got another ACC team that's seen me before as the 4 seed. Like, I'd rather have some Big Ten or Big 12 team that hasn't played against us.
Duke at Virginia Tech without Zion, of course. But not only have they seen him, but they beat them.
Yeah.
They didn't have to go up against the big guy, though.
Yeah. Changes the entire dynamic.
Are we mad that Zion is the talk of the tournament? Like, is there really, I mean, do you have a problem with that? Can you?
No.
I mean, this is like the biggest thing ever, right?
I would say... If it was any other year.
I said not you.
Well, hold on. I'm going to talk about Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
If it wasn't for this year, I think Grant Williams wins National Player of the Year. He just happens to go against the best player in a generation.
It's funny because you see, you watch high school videos of, like, big-time recruits. Like, we talked about James Wiseman at Memphis East being the number one player in the country yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you watch these videos, and, Zion's from where I grew up. Like, I'm watching these videos and I'm like, yeah, come on, Spartanburg Day School. Like, that's like playing in the homeschool league. Like, come on, man. Like, he's not, I was like, he'll be good, but he's not gonna, I thought he would be like Duke starter good this year. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. No idea.
Yeah.
Especially because I knew he couldn't shoot the three. I knew he wasn't gonna be like coming off of screens and bombing threes. And I'm thinking in today's college basketball, you know, if you're a big guy that can't shoot a three, like how dominating, like you can't really dominate the whole game. At least I thought that way. But he does somehow.
He does.
Because it's like you, like he's every time he scores, he's around the basket. It's like, can't you just keep him away from the basket? But people can't. He's too big.
And he's shooting like 30% on the year from three. He's only shot 54 of them.
Yeah, I mean, he only takes them if they're daring him to, basically.
Didn't he have one game, though, where he hit like 4 out of 5 or something?
I don't think he's hit that many. He was 2 of 3 in the North Carolina game to make it to the ACC championship.
Okay. Interesting.
He's smart about when he takes them.
All right.
I mean, I thought I was almost more impressed with Florida State performance. I mean, they do have just athletes coming at you constantly, and they played like 10 guys. And
it was the weight game I was thinking of the first time. He was 3 of 4.
He shot a ball one time on one side of the goal. Two guys jumped to try and block it. He missed the shot, and somehow he got the rebound in between three guys on the other side and put it back in.
He's a fast beast.
He's quick twitch, but at this enormous size.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
It's weird that he's 50 pounds heavier than Grant. The same height, maybe a touch taller, maybe a scotch taller. 50 pounds heavier and that explosive. And, you know, I mean, I think we all kind of have, I would say even Duke fans have a little bit of Zion fatigue. Not watching him play, but the way the media has just like swarmed him in every single thing. You know,
they definitely do because a lot of people hate Zion, and it's not Zion's fault. It's because the media pumps him up so much, people just get tired of
it. And I mean, he's done nothing wrong, you know, since he's been at Duke, other than play really great basketball. But and I get it. Like, we broke down the top six games as far as viewership. Like, it's all Duke. Like, ESPN knows where their bread is buttered. Like, they're going to pump up Duke. They're going to pump up Zion because they want people to watch the big games on ESPN. I totally get it. But it does get a little tiring when you're a fan of other teams, and especially other good teams. And was it the West Virginia game? Like, Dick Vitale just could not stop talking about Zion. Like,
that's what's frustrating.
That's
when he gets talked, when that, he gets talked about it, well, he's not even playing.
That's what I'm saying. You know, it's one thing when you're watching a post game or a pregame show. Of course, they're going to spend a lot of time on him. But when I'm watching my team play and the announcers can't stop gushing over a guy who plays in a different conference, it's like, okay, can we focus on the teams that are playing? I mean, this was when Tennessee was ranked number one in the country, and you couldn't really go a game without somebody on ESPN inserting the but Zion, but Zion. Did you see what Zion did? But I agree with you. I did not expect this. I thought he'd be pretty good, but I thought he'd be a dunker, right? Like, all of his high school clips, you know, even 3 years ago when you kind of first started to see him, you're like, wow, this guy is huge. He's obviously athletic. He can soar, but is he a good basketball player? And you just didn't know because the talent he was playing against wasn't very good, and really all you ever saw was him taking off baseline or wide open down the floor for a 360 windmill. But he's gotten to Duke against some really good competition this year, and I mean, he's a hell of a player.
He's just quick. He's quick enough to go towards the basket and avoid contact. Like, you can't, you know, a lot of guys, most guys his size, if they catch the ball at the free throw line, to get to the rim are so slow that you can just like wall up and either take a charge or kind of force them back. He's so quick twitch, he can off the bounce just go right around you, even in those small spaces.
Yep.
and
get
angles.
And he's good with the ball for how big he is.
Yeah, and get angles on you where you can't block his shot. You end up fouling him. He's going to score. Like, it's just a mess. That I talked about this a few minutes ago, but that North Carolina Central coach said, I didn't have the end of his quote. He said, some coaches will say, we'll take on anyone. We'll be ready. But I don't want any part of Duke. Us playing against Zion would be like my 6-year-old son playing against me.
Even that might not be a wide enough gap.
I'm pulling for North Carolina Central now because I want to see this. I want to see this match.
Oh, I was like, well, you can pull all you want. They ain't beating Duke.
No,
but
I mean
just to get there.
I mean in the 16-16 playing.
Yeah,
game.
Does he like sit behind the bench, like looking over the chair, like there he is? It's Zion.
I don't think we've had this conversation on air. But to give it an SEC tie, Man, could you imagine had Zion gone to South Carolina with Chris Silva and they were able to get Brian Bowen eligible?
Dude, they'd have been so freaking good.
They would have swept us this year.
If they, I mean,
we have a great team.
If you give them Zion this year, I mean, they're probably winning the league. I mean, look how good they were in the league anyway. And you give them a player of that caliber. I mean, think about how much that's going to free up Silva.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd forgotten. I was watching them lose out of the SEC tournament. And, you know, Jimmy Dykes was talking about how it was the end of the line for, you know, Chris Silva and the career he'd had and stuff. And he was like, you know, a lot of people forget that Silva and Kotsar, like, started on their Final Four team.
Yeah.
I mean, they had P.J. Dozier.
They're the only two guys left on that were on the team, right?
Wasn't Gravett coming off the bench then? Is that not right?
Maybe. I thought he was the next year, but you could be right.
I don't remember. But I mean, yeah, like Zion would equal Sendarius Thornwell and P.J. Dozier. I mean, that's easy.
And then you get another body.
So, I mean, they would have had at least the ability to be a Final Four team.
I would think so.
I mean, like how many teams in college basketball, if you put Zion Williamson on their team, are Final Four teams? You know, 60?
20, no.
30? 15? I don't know.
I'd say between 15 and 20.
South Carolina did not make the NCAA tournament.
I would say between 15 and 20.
I mean, that means they're outside the top, what, 36 or something like that.
I mean, I would take him. If he wanted to wear the orange and white, I would be happy.
They were kind of weird.
But he wanted to be in the Brotherhood.
I mean, LeBron James is 6'8", 250-ish. And
6'7", 285.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous to be that athletic.
And that's LeBron, who every time I watch LeBron, I'm like, this guy is, like, no one's built like him. You know, no one's. And obviously Zion's not LeBron
But LeBron's built like a guard. He's just tall. You know what I mean? And he's really strong.
And muscular.
Yeah. But Zion is like beefy, he's built like a Shaquille O'Neal, but with the athleticism of a LeBron.
Does he have a 42-inch vertical?
Do you doubt it?
They said that on the broadcast, and I was like,
would you doubt it? Man. I mean, he jumps and just stays there. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's not fair what he does to the laws of physics.
He put on 100 pounds from his junior to senior year, or between his junior and senior year. Let me rephrase it. For both his junior and senior year, he gained 100 pounds and got more athletic.
100 pounds?
In a two-year span and got more athletic.
Like a person.
Yeah, you can kind of tell, though. He's got a little bit of biscuits and gravy look to him from time to time.
Did you hear the conspiracy theory that he had had, like, a lap band surgery? He really didn't get hurt when he blew out the shoe. He just, he needed, I don't know.
He needed a what?
some type of surgery for the, you know, for the stomach.
Like a stomach staple thing?
Yeah.
Like a gastric bypass?
Yeah, somebody had two screenshots of him before the injury.
Just to get rid of his, they're just getting rid of his gut?
And his gut was, like, gone after.
Because they probably told him, like, hey, you hurt yourself because you're fat. They got to put him on the J.J. Peterson plan. You got to lose this weight, champ. But, no, I mean, he'll be the talk of the tournament. But I don't know, like, so many people get mad when you start talking about Zion. And I'm kind of one of them. But now that we're to the tournament, like, man, like, he's – Clay Travis said it this morning. Like, this is when he could become, like, all-time star. Or if they lose a game, he's – I don't want to say he fades away, but it's like, man,
a
lot of potential to reach here.
Another thing that's great about him is he doesn't get in foul trouble. You know, most of the time, if you got a guy who's 285 pounds as a true freshman, there's ways you can get them into foul trouble, and he doesn't do that. I don't, Duke's good enough everywhere else. It's not like you can outscore them necessarily. I mean, they're not really great, like, fundamentally defense or whatever, but they're so athletic now that it doesn't really matter.
Still down a starter.
Yeah,
true that.
Bolden's still out, so I mean, I do think they are. I think they're beatable in this tournament, but with Zion Williamson, I don't think they're beatable early. Like, I
sure,
just don't.
No.
It's gonna take. I think it'll take one of the. I mean, hell, I'm not even sure there's a team in their bracket that could really beat them. Maybe Virginia Tech could give them a little trouble just because they're familiar with them and can do some defensive things to try and keep the game kind of manageable. But Michigan State with their injuries, I don't see that really happening. So maybe a final four game against a team that can really score. Like if Gonzaga's clicking on all cylinders and they can really score, maybe that's the way you beat Duke. You just have to outscore them and force them to have to, you know, when they miss threes, you got to punish them. and makes you score on the other end.
Just a quick point. I mean, Florida State in the ACC championship held them to 14% from three. They had more steals, less turnovers, less fouls, and they still got beat by double digits.
It's because they couldn't score. Florida State, they weren't a team that can score. When Syracuse had Frank Howard going off, it was a game. When he cooled down, Duke won. You can hold them to a certain level, but you better be really efficient on the other end and outscore them. I think that's the way you have to beat Duke this year. We'll get to your phone calls on the flip side, 865-546-8200 if you want to join the program. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Make your plans to join us at Elkmont Exchange. It's the official watch destination of Fan Run Radio for March Madness. They'll have free food and some beer giveaways courtesy of the McKinney team out there at Elkmont Exchange. We'll be broadcasting live there on Thursday for sure, maybe even a little bit on Friday before Tennessee tips off. And, of course, we'll be watching the Tennessee game on Friday afternoon at Elkmont Exchange. We'll be over there watching games, probably a little afternoon on Thursday as we get going from Elkmont Exchange.
And Sunday.
Yes, and Sunday.
For the Tennessee game.
The next weekend to be determined, hopefully. And the next weekend after that to be determined. And
I'll be in Minneapolis.
Thursday and Friday will be at Elkmont Exchange watching games for sure. You can do that with Fan Run Radio, and then any future Tennessee games, we'll have watch parties there. It's at Elkmont Exchange as well. So make your plans to swing by the official watch destination of Fan Run Radio for March Madness at Elkmont Exchange. And they brew their own beer there. They've got full menu as well.
Delicious beer.
Great time, TVs, and we'll have a blast.
And if you like burgers, oh, baby. Mm. Their burgers are stupid good. They have a French dip, which is phenomenal. The Cuban sandwich, which was the highlight last year. Everyone was eating that damn Cuban sandwich. Delicious food at Elkmont.
So come for lunch on Thursday or Friday. Stay and watch basketball for as long as you want. They open at 11 to get you set for, of course, the game start at noon. Both Thursday and Friday. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's grab Mitchell. Mitchell, you're on 3 and Out. What's up, bud?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yeah, man.
Hey, first time caller, long time listener, but I'm out here in Nebraska, so I usually listen on the podcast, so I'll hear this later in the day.
Shouts out.
But thought it was funny. The Revenge Tour is going to keep going tonight for me a little bit because I live about 5 miles from Creighton.
Okay.
And they play Loyola Chicago tonight in the NIT, so I'm going to go out and hoot and holler at Sister Jean a little bit.
Come on, Creighton. Come on, Creighton. Let's get it done, Creighton. Need you.
But looking at Tennessee's bracket, when you look at the – I don't know if this has been mentioned or not, but if you look at the other seven seeds, even though we have to play Cincinnati and Columbus, I wouldn't want to play any of the other seven seeds, even if they get past Iowa. But – when you look at the other 17, they're not going to be easy for any of the twos.
No, I agree. I mean, I think Louisville has the potential to be outstanding, even though I do think that Duke comeback kind of broke them. Wofford, just with their ability to stroke the three, is a terrifying matchup for anybody if they get hot in this tournament. And Nevada,
I mean, they were there last year. They know what
man.
It's like to make a run. You know, at least with Wofford, you know, it's new for them. Nevada's like, they're like old pros. I'm with you, Mitchell. How far do you, so you feel pretty good about Tennessee? I've been trying to get people's thoughts on this. What do you think about Cincinnati having to play them in Columbus?
Cool for them, I guess, that get to watch their team play one more time, but I mean, they still have to play us. I think we're the better team, so I don't think it's going to matter that much. I just think it's another reason for Tennessee fans to be scared and just, I don't know, the woe is me. Why do we get to play an Ohio team in Ohio? I think they could have put Chattanooga State there and they would have found a reason to be terrified a little bit just with the cup on and everything. But I don't know. I'm not really worried about it. And I'm more looking forward to playing Villanova over Purdue if we get past Cincinnati and Colgate, which we will.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Mitchell. That half of the bracket, like, you can't. I mean, I'm kind of with them. Like, looking, you're kind of looking
for that.
If we
weren't playing Cincinnati and Columbus, I'm looking at this and thinking, okay.
Yeah, if this half of the South was in Jacksonville or what, or if our pod was in Jacksonville,
yeah.
Like, aren't you good with it?
Very, very much good with it.
I mean, you get two Big Ten teams.
And don't get me wrong, like, I'm sure that Cincinnati fans are going to show up for round two, assuming, you know, they get by Iowa. We'll see. Like, Iowa's not terrible. They are one of those slow, unathletic Big Ten teams, but there is at least a chance, I think, that Iowa could get Cincinnati. But let's not forget also that, I mean, North Carolina's there. I don't know how they do the books. It's you buy 2-day books, right? I mean, I guess you could buy all four.
You can buy it both ways.
Okay.
Based on what I was back when Tennessee was number one overall, I was looking at tickets for Columbia.
Okay.
And yeah, you could buy a package for like one session. You could buy single sessions, or you could buy like every game that's at that site and a couple different types of versions in between.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess the good news is if Cincinnati loses, there's probably going to be a fair amount of tickets available for Tennessee fans to go watch Tennessee take on Iowa again.
It's got to be a benefit, too, that it's the Friday-Sunday, right? Because you have, if you're a Tennessee fan and Tennessee wins on Friday, you could actually still make plans to get up there for Sunday.
Sure,
And you could travel Saturday, or you could, I mean, I know getting back would be a little tougher, but still, if it's... If you have to work all day Friday in Tennessee,
dude, it's March. It's March Madness, man. Ain't nobody working on Monday.
Well, you know what I mean.
Definitely not working Thursday and Friday. I mean, but yeah, I mean it's 5 hours to Columbus from here, from Knoxville. Maybe a touch farther from Nashville. I mean, it's not that bad of a drive.
I mean, that's not outside of the the kind of last minute. Well, let's just go. Let's do it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like just close enough to where you can do that for sure. So we'll see what happens. I'm not picking Iowa, I don't think, but that's a game, again, that I think they could easily sneak up on Cincinnati, especially when that game is. I mean, they get that's the noon game, right? Isn't that the first?
Yeah, it's before.
Or the 12:15 game.
It's the first game on Friday.
We know Fran McCaffrey can get fired up.
It is the
yes,
first.
Yes, he can. Mother bleep.
It's a 60-40 game, according to the BPI.
See,
for Cincinnati.
I was wondering what it would be. I was going to try to find it. It's harder to find these games in the BPI now that they're not tacking them on to the end of the regular season schedule sheet here. But, 60-40,
that's pretty even.
That's, I don't want to say coin flippish. I mean, that's, we think Cincinnati's a little bit better, and here we go. So, all right. And I will say this, though. Iowa, they were not particularly good down the stretch.
They're struggling.
They lost 6 out of their last 8. 6 out of their last 8,
whoa,
they lost.
That's rough.
And then a lot of these got beat badly. After a close loss at Maryland, they did beat Indiana, who did not make the tournament. Sorry, Hoosiers. They lost at Ohio State by 20. They lost to Rutgers at home by 14. Wisconsin beat them by 20 at Nebraska, who's not very good. They lost by 2. They did beat Illinois, who was awful. And then Michigan beat them by 21 in the tournament. So they're reeling a little bit.
I found this article the other day, and I thought it was interesting because it was talking about coaches to be wary of whenever you're making your selections for bracket.
Mm-hmm. You know where this is going.
Actually, it does not mention Rick Barnes.
I did not know where this was going.
It talks about how, for Cincinnati, Mick Cronin is 6-8 at Cincinnati and 6-10 overall in the NCAA tournament. It's just like, he has some good teams to get there, but once he gets there, he typically doesn't do a whole lot. And then it discussed how Purdue's Matt Painter is 12-10 in the NCAA tournament, but has never led the Boilermakers to more than 2 victories in 1 tournament.
Interesting.
So if they are playing you, they've never gotten past that point.
Tournament stats with coaches are always fascinating to me because it's hard to make blanket judgments because it's like, okay, if you're a really good coach, so you have seasons that are better than another coach would have had, do you then set yourself up so that when you lose in the tournament, you know, really probably where you should have, it makes you look bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Virginia thing a little bit. Obviously, you shouldn't lose a 16, but
people
bag on Virginia's coach all the time. It's like, well, if he's a really good coach in the regular season and takes a team that's not nearly as talented as the others in the ACC and gets a really high seed, and then that catches – I don't know. But at the same time, you would think if you could do that in the regular season, you should be able to repeat it in postseason play.
And
so is he a bad – you know.
This article only listed three coaches, and it kind of went through a lot of different analytics to kind of view, but the other coach was Tony Bennett. So all three of those coaches are likely teams that you could face. And it doesn't mention Jay Wright and Villanova, but as far as the defending national champion, they typically don't make it back to like the Final Four or anything like that. So,
well, this Villanova, I mean, this is even more of an example of that, I think, than we've seen in the past. When we come back, lines are out on some of these Thursday and Friday games.
Good.
So let's look at those on the flip side. Stick with us right here as we profile the NCAA tournament on Fan Run Radio. I think most conflict in life is from miscommunication.
I agree.
We didn't have conflict, but we just had a discussion a second ago where one of us completely missed one detail.
I heard win the playoffs, not make the playoffs.
Yeah. Apparently some guy put $64,000
$67,000
on the Warriors to make the playoffs, which seems like a sure thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And when they do,
it's a really bad yield, though.
He'll make a little over $600.
670. It was 100-1 odds.
Yeah, that's a 1% yield. Put that damn thing in a CD and get 4%, bud.
Maybe at the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union.
Sure. I mean, gaw. You're probably best just to hang on to it and let inflation do the job for you. That's backwards, but still.
That wouldn't be 100-1. It'd be 1-100. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're kind of the same thing, basically.
You're 100-1 to lose.
Yeah. You say 100-1 though. Odds are 100-1. Just it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I really
getting
thought you
into
said,
the weeds.
I really thought you said win the playoffs,
okay, but,
and I was
yeah.
like horrible.
The whole
horrible,
thing
horrible.
Is Houston heard that when Davey said it, that Golden State has to win the playoffs, not make the playoffs. And Houston's like, what? That's terrible. Which it would be. It's debatable the way it is.
It'd be very dumb.
It's incredibly stupid. Do you remember when UConn was about to play for the women's national championship in the Final Four against Mississippi State? And I was
yes.
like, this is the easiest way to make money. I just put a bunch of money on UConn, and then they lost that night.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
You were like sure thing on that,
sure
too.
Sure thing, yeah. Eh? I don't know. Banks fail, right?
Yeah, I guess.
What's safer, the Golden State Warriors to make the playoffs or stock exchange? I don't know. Anyway.
If
you want to bet on the NCAA tournament, you can head on over to MyBookie and check them out. They're running sign-on bonuses as well right now. And one of our sponsors here at Fan Run Radio, the lines are out for the NCAA tournament games. Obviously, we're most interested in Tennessee on Friday. And the Volunteers are a 17.5-point favorite against Colgate from Columbus, Ohio.
Ooh.
If they lose, there's going to be a lot of good sound drops from this show.
If they lose, it's not my fault. Trust me.
I'll knock on wood just in case.
I'm just saying, like, I think some people expected this line to be like 7.5.
It's
17.5, guys. Like, this is not supposed to be a game. It's just the tournament, and we're a little bit nervous. Mm-hmm. And like, I get it. I don't blame anybody. What are some other what are the other 1-seed and 2-seed lines for this weekend?
Well, you got.
I know they're not probably split up like that.
Yeah,
so I'm going to make you do some
jump
work.
Around. How about I give you Cincinnati, Iowa first, since they're the teams we're set to play. Cincinnati's a 3.5-point favorite.
Bum bum bum. Iowa. Now that's a game you should be worried about if you're Cincinnati. I've been saying it the whole time. Iowa, not terrible, not terrible.
There's not on Thursday. The 1-seeds don't get started until 7:30 with Gonzaga, and they're awaiting a play-in winner. So obviously there's no line on that one. Wait, is there only Kentucky plays Abilene Christian on Thursday. They're a 22.5 point favorite. So that is a little, I do feel like I'd rather have Abilene Christian than Colgate, but like you said, it doesn't really matter. So is there only one, I guess there's only one number one seed playing on Thursday. The other three are all going on Friday when Tennessee does. Virginia is a 23.5 point favorite over Gardner-Webb. And Duke's awaiting the play-in
winner. Only 6 points higher than Tennessee over Colgate?
And North Carolina is a 24-point favorite over Iona. So there's your one seeds. Duke's awaiting a play-in winner. I mean, Duke would probably be the biggest favorite.
I would imagine.
Right. I mean, they're playing the weakest 16 also.
Yeah. Coming off a game.
Yeah.
Two seed lines? What'd you say Kentucky was?
22.5.
22.5?
Yep.
What's Michigan State?
They play Thursday. I'm going to switch back to that. The first two seed on Thursday to play is Michigan State at 245. They are an 18.5 point favorite. So Tennessee was what, 17.5?
Mm-hmm.
Michigan State, 18.5.
They're overvalued. Michigan State is, I think.
Kentucky, 22.5. And Michigan, 15.5. I have heard that one. Like, if you're looking for a two to go down, it's probably Montana over Michigan.
Interesting.
If you had to pick.
Grizz.
Yeah. I think they won. I think Montana won the regular season and won the tournament, so they're kind of a, you know.
Okay.
Kind of a team that has at least been consistently good at their level. Now, I don't know how they project against the big boys. They did play at Creighton this year. They played at Arizona. So that's some big game experience to play a Pac-12 team there. They've won their last four, and you know, all in conference. So I don't know. You're not going to be very good when you're a 15, but
no.
First in the Big Sky Conference. And Colgate's like that too. Colgate and Montana both won their regular season and then won their tournament also. But like,
so
I mean, said,
but for
eight.
The two seeds, Tennessee's falling right in line with everybody, right? They're kind of in the middle of the pack there.
Yeah,
Michigan's
third.
15, third, yeah.
But the other, I mean, there's one, it's only 1 point difference.
Yeah.
Basically, Kentucky over Abilene Christian, and that's because, A, people...
They overvalue Kentucky.
They overvalue Kentucky, and I do think Abilene Christian's probably a weaker 15.
Do you think the harder the name is to say, the more points you have in favor of the higher seed?
Who's Michigan playing?
Montana.
Colgate. Keep it close. Abilene Christian. That's a big one. Who's Duke playing? We don't know. Well, I can't say that one.
North Carolina Central. It'll be bad. That line's going to be
it'll
crazy.
Be bad. It'll be bad. But also, good. Okay. 17.5. I mean, I think that kind of tells the tale of the tape, doesn't it?
Yeah, here's some other.
Didn't they kind of tell you what to expect?
Here's some other lines for you. You know, the tournament for real starts Thursday, 12:15 with Minnesota-Louisville. Louisville is a 5-point favorite in that 7-10 matchup. Then you got LSU, 7.5-point favorite over Yale. It seems really tight for 3-14. I mean,
agreed.
That's only one seed line off of Tennessee's, and you're a 10-point difference
mm-hmm.
on the line. Auburn's a 6.5-point favorite against New Mexico State.
Look out for New Mexico State.
Florida State's a 10-point favorite against Vermont. We mentioned Michigan State 18.5 over Bradley. I don't think I said that team name, mm-hmm. but that's another two. Then Kansas is a 7-point favorite over Northeastern. Is Kansas on upset alert?
Yeah,
I would think so. I mean,
man,
they've been reeling.
Iowa State.
They didn't lose that. They got pounded by Iowa State. It was good for about 30 minutes, and then Iowa State pulled away late. So maybe that's probably not fair to Kansas. But Iowa State's pretty good this year, too. They won a lot of big games.
Marquette's only a 4-point favorite in their 5-12 matchup with Murray State.
Told you, man. Marquette, you can't trust them. And Murray State has explosive Morant to kind of be the neutralizer in that one.
Nevada's a 2-point favorite over Florida in a 7-10 game.
They're favorite over Florida?
Yeah, by two.
Look out.
Villanova's a 5-point favorite over St. Mary's. That one, of course, in Tennessee's half of the South region.
Mm-hmm.
And Wofford is a 3-point favorite over Seton Hall.
So does that mean that Wofford will be favored over Kentucky since Seton Hall beat Kentucky? It's a joke.
And Purdue's a 13-point favorite over Old Dominion.
ODU.
So 13 over ODU?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm, okay. I think Purdue's one of those overvalued teams as well.
Okay.
Because of last year. I mean, I think right now, you know, teams like Kentucky, basically your Blue Bloods and then some of the Big Ten teams, I think, are pretty overvalued. And I think there's a I don't know. It seems like the SEC is slightly undervalued, but I think that that's probably just national perception. It's weird. Like, Kentucky gets all the credit in the SEC, but this was a good league this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got seven teams in. Bama was, like, right there. I think people look at the SEC kind of beating up on each other and think, oh, well, they're just not that good. But I think that the reason people think that is because the Big Ten is so overvalued that when they beat each other, it's just a good league, and the SEC is not a good league. I'm hoping that the SEC can make a little bit of noise. I don't want to see, you know, Auburn go to the Final Four or LSU go to the Final Four, but I'm hoping that those teams can do the league proud. You know, if Florida beats Nevada, if Auburn can get to a Sweet 16, Tennessee can kind of take care of business. You feel good that Kentucky can probably do the same. Maybe the SEC can start getting a little bit of credit.
Final game of the day on Thursday is Baylor-Syracuse. Syracuse a 2.5-point favorite there. We'll come back, hit on some of the other Friday lines. There's some prop bets also out there as well. So we'll hit that and wrap up hour number two right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment, hour number two. Going through some of the betting lines here for the NCAA tournament. And there's some prop bets as well you can get in on. And if you're going to make bets, we'd love for you to do it at BetMyBookie. They're our betting sponsor for March Madness here at Fox Sports Knoxville. One prop bet I thought was interesting is, will any number one seed be trailing or tied at halftime against a number 16 seed?
Mm-hmm.
It's -360 if you bet no. So that's obviously the favorite. So if you think a one seed could, you know, basically be even tied or better at halftime, you can put some money on that one.
Randall, that's a scary prop bet. What's the payout there?
It's -360.
Okay.
It's +300 on the other side. So. If you think one of these 16 seeds can make some noise, you could win more money than you put up.
Sure.
If they hit.
Put 100, win 300.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, though.
Not worth it.
Like, Duke's not going to. Who's Virginia playing?
I mean, they're,
like, that's your best chance, right? Again?
All eyes on you, Virginia.
Is it Gonzaga? Like, Gonzaga can just. What was weird about Gonzaga against St. Mary's is they couldn't score, and that's what they do well, right?
Maybe they're cold.
I mean, they were missing, like, it didn't pass the eye test either. They were taking, like, four-footers right in the paint, like, and just leaving them short.
You hate to see it.
It was like that P.J. Washington shot. My breath stopped when he got that rebound. You remember late in the Kentucky game? He missed. He got his rebound.
Oh, yes.
Maybe somebody else missed and he got the rebound. But he was right there. He had it. And he just left it short.
Yep.
Tennessee got
yep.
the rebound. And that was it. It was those types of shots. But against St. Mary's, they missed them over and over and over. They're waiting on a play-in team, though, I think. So that surely they'll be fine. And then North Carolina, like, they score. Not this year. No 16 seed drama this year. I think I'd bet the no. I'd take the lesser odds and put money on the favorites. Surely Virginia. Makes a statement, right? Against their 16, they try and beat them by 80.
I think they'll try
to cleanse the demons.
But I don't know, man.
Well, here's some
you
other.
You don't want to come out pressing.
Here's some other Friday lines. I mentioned Cincinnati's a 3.5-point favorite against Iowa. Ole Miss 2-point favorite in the 8-9 game against Oklahoma. See if Kermit Davis has some magic. Who's
favorite in that one?
Ole Miss by two.
Okay. Yep.
And, of course, they would get Virginia in round two, and I'd be really excited for that one. Texas Tech's a 3 seed against Northern Kentucky. They're a 14-point favorite. Kansas State's a 5-point favorite against UC Irvine. Well, UC Irvine, 30-5 Kansas State only a 5-point favorite. The game's in San Jose, California. I mean, if you're looking for a bigger upset, Dave, you mentioned during the break there were prop bets last year on how many 13 and below seeds would win. I mean, that's kind of the line, right? Like, we expect 12s to at least be in it with 5s. When you get to 13s, that's when it becomes like, oh, man, this is a big upset. But any team that's won 30 games already, surely they know how to win. And only a 5-point favorite, five seems pretty tight for a 4-13 game. And we talked about how Kansas State's a little up and down this year. I mentioned Tennessee, 17.5-point favorite. Virginia, 23.5. Wisconsin is a 1-point favorite against Oregon in the 5-12 game.
I did not look at the lines when I was telling you what teams I'm out on. But I did say I'm out on the Big Ten. Now you know why.
Well, you even mentioned this. You even mentioned this game. You said Oregon's super athletic.
They're hot right now, too. Hot as a pistol. And Wisconsin just... You talk from an athletic standpoint. I don't know if Wisconsin, they can't stay in front of Oregon. Maybe they can out Wisconsin them. They just do the same thing, which is drive you crazy with sound offense and pestering defense. What was that game early in the year? I think they took like 10 charges. Like that's like the most Wisconsin thing ever. Mm-hmm. We're just gonna take a bunch of charges. You're gonna hate us. We're going to get in your way and then make you pay for it. That's Wisconsin. That is the most Wisconsin thing I've ever heard. Just get in your way and then you knock us over and we get the foul call. It's not fun basketball to watch, but they do it so well. I mean, it's what they did under Bo Ryan for years. They're going to score 67 and they're going to give up 58 on a good night.
Well, it's the same defense Virginia plays too.
Yeah.
So...
ugh, that's a team I will not be watching.
It's funny because that's the thing about being Wisconsin in this situation. Playing that style is the only way Wisconsin beats the Kentuckys of the world, right, just in general. But it also gets you closer to getting beat against other teams. It's the same problem Virginia has. Virginia's style is one that allows their personnel to beat North Carolina. But it also makes them more susceptible to being beaten by UMBC. So that's kind of a catch. It's kind of a catch 22 a little bit. So I kind of like it because you don't want to prepare to beat the bad teams like that. That's like Butch Jonesing it, right? You want to be prepared to be as good as you can be at the top end, but it just means you better be sharp. You better be on your P's and Q's. And that's a tight line for Wisconsin. A really bad matchup to draw Oregon in the first round. Get this 8-9 matchup. Utah State, 2.5-point favorite against Washington, another Pac-12 team. I guess that makes sense.
What was Washington to start the year, Davey? Were they 5? Weren't they way up there?
No. Washington?
Yeah. When they played Auburn, they were a top 11 or 12 team, I know, and I thought they had already lost one at that point.
They were 1-0 going in the Auburn game. Auburn was at 11. I don't remember what.
Were they 25?
Washington was.
Maybe it was Auburn I was thinking about. Or was that an 11-12 game?
And they were up there in football because you had that matchup.
Washington was 25.
25, okay. Yeah. So they were a top 25 team. Okay.
Yeah, you're probably thinking of where Auburn was.
I had Auburn's 11 in my head. Real quick, you know, everybody's been talking about having to play Cincinnati in Columbus. They averaged... I want to make sure I get the exact number. In attendance last year they went 30. And no, I'm sorry, this was 2 years ago. They went 30-6, and their average attendance was like 8,500. I don't think Cincinnati is going to take over Columbus the way a lot of Tennessee fans are kind of fearing. I guess the luck for Cincinnati is that they are in their home state and maybe don't have to travel. But how far is Cincinnati from Columbus? There is a rule that the NCAA implemented that if you are within, I want to say, 300 miles of your tournament destination, you drive a bus. So Tennessee may actually have less travel time to Columbus than Cincinnati.
About 100 to 125 miles, depending on what part of the cities you're coming from.
Okay, so they've got about an hour and a half, and that flight will take Tennessee 40 minutes. We good?
Yeah, it's no big deal.
Not a big deal at all.
Especially because I mean, like these tickets, there's going to be ways you can just get them. You know, like I don't like you know what I'm saying. It's not like a home football game where all the tickets have been pre-sold to season ticket holders years in advance. And
I'm just saying there aren't that many Cincinnati fans anyway.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think the environment's going to be scary for the Vols.
I mean, I've even seen Tennessee people texting about, you know, already getting them and all that kind of stuff. I think it'll be fun. I agree with you. Let's kick off hour three next. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio.
You're listening to 3 and Out, WKGN, Fan Run Radio.
Can you believe